Hey everyone, so we have a slight change of plans today. Instead of releasing a normal episode like we were intending on doing, we're going to do a little special bonus episode instead, just to give Tessa some more time because she is planning on making a full return as of February 1st. So today, instead of doing a full episode, I personally am just going to be reading the rest of the ghost stories that we had submitted to us for Halloween that we never got around to finishing, and I wanted to make up for that because I said we were going to do something and we never did. So this is me doing something and trying to honor my promises. That's one of my resolutions for this year. So without any further ado, here are some ghost stories. So, as I said, I'm going to be doing ghost stories, but as a formal introduction to any new listeners who might be out there, this is Conspiracies and Cryptids with Sammy and Tessa. I am Sammy. Tessa is finishing up her little sabbatical from the podcast. For most of 2020, Tessa was out because her work kind of pulled her away from it. She had a lot going on, but things are starting to calm down for her at work. So she should be back on the 1st of February for the official launch of season 6. So in the meantime, we had a Halloween episode where we asked our listeners listeners to send us ghost stories and personal, like, you know, spooky paranormal stories that they had. And we got like quite a few, but we only got through like maybe half of them. So today I'm going to be reading the rest of them. So our first listener story comes from Nova, who uses she, her pronouns. So thank you for normalizing pronouns, Nova. Nova says, "Hello, Sammy, Tessa, and pets." I think that's the first shout out to pets we've gotten on this podcast. So all of our pets say hi. "I love your podcast, and I have the perfect listener story for you. I went to a couple different high schools." Oh, sorry, real quick pause. I have not read any of these, so this is going to be kind of a surprise to me. So anyway, "I went to a couple of different high schools, and one of the ones I went to was haunted. Not just haunted, but it's listed as one of the most haunted buildings in my state." She goes on to say that they filmed The Walking Dead there. So she said, let that sink in for a minute. "The high school was built on an old plantation site where in 1899, a slave killed his master while the master was eating breakfast. The cemetery is on the school grounds hidden in the trees, and it is still there to this day. Many students and teachers have reported smelling bacon and eggs throughout the day, no matter where they are in the school, and others have heard strange noises at night. My story is one of the stories at night." Oh boy. So this is a, This is going to be an interesting story. There's going to be definitely it's one of those, there are so many different levels of hauntings, and ones that are usually fueled by hatred or rage are usually more violent hauntings. And I'm assuming if it's a slave killing his master, it was definitely a lot of hatred and rage there. Just my assuming, but I don't see why it would be anything other than that. Slave masters were usually very horrible people. Anyway. "My freshman year of high school, I was heavily invested in the theater program." Same, girl, same. I was very heavily invested in theater too. Surprise, surprise. "The director was adamant that the students be involved in as much of the production as possible. That meant that cast members and crew members worked on set pieces together, worked on costumes together, etc. A lot of people may not know this, but theater is competitive." Oh God, don't even get me started. Don't even get me started on how competitive theater is. Like, people think sports and stuff are competitive, but I mean, you've never been around theater kids. I mean, think of all the competition in sports, but with 10 times the drama. And that's why they call it the drama program. So, "You can get a letter or bar in theater." So for your letterman's jacket. So yeah, "they drive you all over the state to compete in one act with other schools in your division. It's not just going on stage, saying lines and looking pretty. Everyone has to set the stage and remove all the props and set pieces in a set time limit. Yeah. So my drama department didn't specifically travel around state competing in one acts, but I personally competed in, what was it called? It was basically like it was called oral interpretation, and it was basically like competitive, public speaking, but it was more or less like an acting sort of thing. Like, I personally participated in poetry, and like, duets. So basically it was like a two-man play kind of thing. And then poetry was just, you know, public reading of poetry. I actually placed state in a couple of those competitions. So it is very competitive. Continuing on, I keep sidetracking, and I'm so sorry, Nova, to like sidetrack your story. Because of our prep schedule for one act, this involved the group coming in on weekends or staying at the school sometimes with practice until 9 or 10 p.m. One night around 9 p.m., while everyone was cleaning up, I had to go to the bathroom, and all the ones in the theater area were occupied, so I went into the main part of the school to use those bathrooms because I really, really had to go, and the line was long. Girl, when you gotta go, you gotta go. Nature calls. So I walked into a nearby hall to use the restrooms, and of course I was all by myself. I heard one of the stall doors nearby me opening, like someone was coming in, but I didn't see any feet. Oh, I just got goosebumps. So I attributed the sound of the door to a breeze or something. These were modern bathrooms. They had automatic flushers, automatic sinks, etc. But I finished and went to wash my hands. While washing my hands afterwards, I heard three more doors squeak and saw them barely moving in the mirror behind me. Oh my God. I've got literal goosebumps up and down my arms. Okay. I dried off my hands and walked swiftly towards the edge of the restroom, because screw that. When I reached the entrance of the restroom, all of the sinks and all of the toilets went off at the same time. Oh my God. It's a good thing I went to the bathroom because I was scared beyond all reason. I ran back to the theater section of the school. Of course, this was when all the theater kids informed me that the school was haunted. So you didn't know? Oh my God, you didn't even know that it was haunted. Okay, needless to say, I never went to a bathroom alone in that school ever again at night. In general, I don't go to the bathroom alone in places anymore either. I hope you enjoy my story. Don't go to the bathroom alone, and happy Halloween. Oh my God. yeah, that is absolutely terrifying, and I hate that. I can't even imagine the fear that would be going through your mind at that point. But thank you, Nova, for the story. That was really incredible and terribly, terribly terrifying. Moving on, I've got a couple of stories from Joel. Let's see. Yeah, he's got a couple of stories here. So, hello, peoples. Here's a couple of stories that have happened to us throughout the years. I'll start with our first experience, which also happens to be the longest. So this is stories from him and his wife. Yeah. He titled this one, he actually gave them all little titles, and I love that. He called this one Pervy Poltergeist. My wife and I moved from California to Eugene, Oregon in 1999 to attend Bible college. At the time, we only had two children, our daughter who was two and our son who was a few months old. We found an apartment to rent right down the street from the college. This apartment was hard to get into due to its inexpensive rent and proximity to the school. Our place was just vacated the week we got to town. Everything couldn't have worked out better, or so we thought. A little side note about Bible colleges, we were warned by other students and staff to be prepared for spiritual warfare while we were there. The way it was explained to us was, you can't open yourself up to the spiritual world without opening yourself up to both good and bad spirits. We were entering a battlefield, and we weren't prepared. So as somebody who went to Bible college, I understand that. That was something that was kind of told to us as well, as, you know, you kind of, you're in a spiritual setting, you know, day in and day out. So you're kind of open to those kind of experiences. So we definitely were told that sort of thing as well at my Bible college. Within the first few months, stuff started getting pretty weird. We'd be eating dinner and our TV would turn on all by itself. Then the channel would change to static, followed by the volume being turned all the way up. Then it would just shut off. We looked at each other kind of spooked, but justified it as a power surge. This kept happening at random times throughout the next week or two. We started rationalizing it by saying that our TV must be on its last leg, even though it was a newer TV. I mean, this literally does sound like the movie Poltergeist. Like, I'm I haven't read the rest of the story, but I'm really wondering if your two-year-old daughter at any time just sat there looking at the static and just goes, "They're here." Oh, that's terrifying. Okay, I'm going to keep going. During this time, my wife started feeling really uneasy in the apartment. It was like someone was always watching her. One time when she was in the kitchen, she bent over to put something in the oven and someone pinched her butt. She said, "Joel," and turned around thinking it was me. Nobody was there. I was in the other room on the couch. I asked her what she said, and she told me what just happened. Now we were getting pretty freaked out, but what could we do? We were in school, I was working, we were 1,000 miles away from home, and we didn't have any money to move. We were stuck in our apartment with whatever this was. So we prayed about it, really, really prayed hard. Remember that spiritual battlefield? It fought back. Oh, God. This is, I've definitely heard stories about that where it's like if you're in a haunting situation and you pray, sometimes it can cause like negative backlash where, I'm not trying to force religion on anybody or force my religious upbringing or beliefs on people. But I mean, just doing any sort of paranormal research into hauntings and ghost stories. A lot of these stories, especially with poltergeists, you'll notice that anytime they do bring in priests or ministers or something like that, or pray and try to fight this entity, with especially Christianity and religion in that aspect, you tend to see a lot of negative backlash. That is definitely something that I've noticed a lot through, research and stories and all sorts of stuff. So that actually doesn't surprise me. A few nights later, I woke up in the middle of the night to my wife tapping my arm with her pinky. I rolled over to look at her and she was staring at the ceiling. Needless to say, I was creeped out. I said, "Honey, what's wrong? Are you okay?" She didn't say anything, but shook her head slightly. I said, "Can you move?" She shook her head slightly again. I said, "Is there someone there?" She nodded. Oh, God, chills. I said, "Do you want me to pray for you?" She nodded again. So I prayed something along the lines of, "Jesus, in your name, we cast out the spirit and pray you protect my wife. Amen." Immediately, my wife was released from the spirit. I said, "What the heck happened?" She said she woke up and saw someone standing in the doorway, but the person was see-through. Then the person ran at her and went inside her, knocking her back on the bed, paralyzing her. All she could do was move her pinky and try to wake me up. That sounds a lot like sleep paralysis, which I've never experienced personally. And I mean, the stories I've read, once again, I've done a lot of weird research into this and listened to stories about it. And I've had friends that have experienced it. And I mean, that absolutely sounds like sleep paralysis. You know, you can't move your body. You're like halfway between awake and asleep. Like your mind is awake, but your body's still asleep. And it causes your brain to project dreams onto the physical world. So yeah, I mean, I'm not trying to discount, your experience and say that, it wasn't a spirit or a haunting or anything, but it does just sound very similar to sleep paralysis. So, next thing we hear is a blood curdling scream in the kids' bedroom. We run in there and my daughter is in her bed panicking, screaming and trying to wipe something off of her. We asked what it was and we heard, "Ants, there's ants on me." So we sat her up in bed and pulled her top and pulled her shirt up to check for ants. We didn't see anything and told her there was no ants on her. And she said, "No, hands, there's hands on me." So I prayed over my daughter and they stopped. We took the kids and left the apartment and stayed with our friends for the night. After talking to our friends, they said they would have their pastor come over to bless the house. He came over the next day. The maintenance guy for the apartment came over too, since he also went to their church and had become a friend of ours. We didn't tell the pastor any details about what the spirit was doing. We only said weird stuff was going on. Right when the pastor got to our apartment door, he said there was an evil spirit attached to this apartment and a sexual presence and wanted to do women harm. The maintenance guy said, that makes sense. The last person that lived here was into some bad stuff and she always had different guys over. Then we told the pastor what the spirit had been doing. The pastor said that would explain why the spirit only went after my wife and my daughter, but left me and my son alone. The pastor cleansed and blessed the house. We never had another problem with the apartment after that. That being said, there were still other occurrences during our time in college. Oh, whew. That is absolutely terrifying. We're getting a lot of really good terrifying stories today. Okay. Yeah, so I'm going to have to make sure that a lot of people listen to this because this is creepy and it's definitely a good one to listen to. Joel's next story is called Disappearing Driver. My wife and I were driving down a main road in Eugene, Oregon. There was a car trying to come out of a parking lot waiting to merge into traffic. There were two girls in the car who looked like they were in their early 20s. They were talking to each other and laughing. All of a sudden, the girls vanished. The car was completely empty, just sitting there. I looked over to my wife and she looked at me wide-eyed and said, "Did you just see that?" I said, "Those girls disappeared. I'm glad you saw it because you would have never believed me. We have never told anybody outside of my family about that until now. We still can't explain it." That's creepy. Especially since the car was like moving and trying to merge into traffic. Okay. Joel's next story is called Summer, Where Are You? Our good friend we stayed with from the first story, Summer, was living with a family from her church while she went to school in Eugene. She was staying in the furnished basement. One night after dinner with her friends, she went home and went to wash up in the bathroom downstairs. In the room next to the bathroom, she heard a lady say, "Summer, where are you?" She thought it was the homeowner. Summer said, "I'm in here." The lady asked again, "Summer, where are you?" Summer replied, "I'm in here. I'm in the bathroom." Again, the voice said, "Summer, where are you?" Summer thought this was really weird since the lady was in the basement with her, so she must have heard her. Summer looked out of the bathroom door and saw a lady wearing a white ripped dress floating towards her, saying again, "Summer, where are you?" Summer ran up the stairs and out of the house. Her pastor came the next day and cleansed and blessed the house. I really hope that pastor gets paid extra for house calls. I do too. I don't think they do, but I wish they did. His next story is called Hungry Haunting. All these like really good titles. I love alliteration. And you've done that three times so far with Pervy Poltergeist, Disappearing Driver, and Hungry Haunting. And it looks like, yeah, the next story is called Ghostly Guitarist. So I absolutely adore alliteration. That's why I use the name Sammy Simplicity all over the internet. So these are great. We bought a house in Iowa in 2017. Oh, this is Hungry Haunting, by the way. We bought a house in Iowa in 2017. The previous owner's husband recently passed away in the home. We didn't find out about it, or we didn't find out until after we bought the home. What could possibly go wrong? My wife made breakfast for my son before school. He was getting ready in the bathroom, so she put it on his dresser in his bedroom and closed the door. He went to his room and said, "Why'd you put this plate on my dresser?" She said, "What? I made you breakfast." He said, "There's nothing on my plate." Fast forward a week later, my daughter was making a salad for lunch. She left the kitchen to go grab something from the other room. When she got back to the kitchen a minute later, her salad bowl was empty. I didn't think ghosts could eat food, but maybe they can. Or maybe it was just a pest problem. There may have been lots of hungry hippos instead of a hungry haunting. All right. And then ghostly guitarist. My daughter was sitting in our living room waiting to go to work when she heard a guitar being played in the basement. My son usually practices down there. My daughter thought she was the only one home, so she went to go talk to my son. The music stopped when she opened the basement door and walked downstairs. There was nobody there, plus all the guitars were still in the guitar rack. She said she never ran so fast in her life. At least this ghost story is just a hungry musician. Yeah, like I said, it could also be like mice or rats too, because that would explain them eating the food. It could also explain them running past, you know, guitars. I've had friends that had that actually happen where they thought their house was haunted. And it turns out it was just like mice in their house running past the guitar and brushing past the guitar strings. I hope you enjoyed these stories. They are all true. We've gotten used to weird stuff happening nowadays and usually just laugh whenever something else happens. Cheers, Joel. Thank you, Joel. Those were all incredible and absolutely creepy, creepy as heck. I've got two more stories, so I'm going to take a quick break and, you know, go to the bathroom by myself and hopefully have nothing turn on and, you know, haunt me. So I'll be right back. Okay, I am back. Like I said, I've got two more stories to go. This first one comes from Derek. Derek says, okay, so I was a young teenager and thought I was super cool. So I would sneak out the basement window with my best friend and we would ride our bikes around at night. One such night, we were invited to watch a movie with a girl. And girl is in all caps. Yeah, nothing gets teenage boys more excited than a teenage girl. We rode our bikes over to her house after my parents went to bed and discovered she had a copy of Final Destination 3, an R-rated movie. And he puts like a shocked face emoji. We watched the movie, a terrible horror film about kids that should have died on a roller coaster and then get murdered randomly for an hour. There are heavy carnival themes throughout. So yeah, basically the Final Destination movies, for anybody who hasn't seen them, the whole premise of the franchise is basically a group of people narrowly escape death. You know, like some, like a bus is supposed to explode, or they're supposed, like the roller coaster was supposed to go off its tracks and everybody was supposed to die. But by some miraculous happenstance, they don't die. And you know, they all just kind of are relieved and think, wow, we narrowly escaped death. Well, turns out they were actually supposed to die. And because they didn't die at their allotted time, different weird situations happen to cause them to die like they were supposed to. And, you know, like all sorts of crazy things happen and they're murdered by fate, basically, to like basically claim the deaths that they were supposed to get. So after the movie, we say our goodbyes and ride our bikes home to sneak back into the window. And as we lower ourselves into the darkness, we both hear this song emanating from what felt like every direction. And Derek included basically carnival circus theme music, which I'm sure we can all picture in our heads what that sounds like. So I'm going to leave that up to your imagination. He says it was the traditional carnival theme coming from nowhere and coming from everywhere. We immediately checked the TV and stereo, frantically trying to silence the horror as images of clowns flashed through our psyche. And the moment my best friend flicked on the lights, the music stopped. Silence. We stood there and looked at each other and both said in unison, "Did you just hear what I heard?" We didn't sleep that night. Yeah. I don't think I would have either. I am absolutely horrified of clowns. I don't usually announce that to people because I've had people use that against me in the past, but I am very claustrophobic. I've never seen It, neither the old one, the new one, or the sequel. I've never seen Killer Clowns from Outer Space, and I literally will cry anytime that there are, you know, clown episodes of even shows as like fun and lighthearted as Rugrats, which they came up a lot because Chucky was afraid of clowns. So yeah, I would not have slept either. That's really creepy. Our next story comes from Labrat, and he uses he, him pronouns. Thank you for normalizing pronouns, Labrat. This one's titled Personal Ghost Story. Labrat writes, it happened in my parents' house, which was new construction. So we are the first owners and everything was only a few years old. Before our neighborhood was made, the land used to be a ranch, much like the surrounding area. In fact, up until recently, there was an area where cows would just be outside of my neighborhood, but that was sold to be a warehouse now. During winter break from high school, my parents were at work and I was home with my brother, who's a year younger than I am. I was listening to The Ultimate Showdown of Ultimate Destiny on my PSP. That entire sentence was a whole throwback to the early 2000s, and really just gave me a super nice nostalgic feeling, which I'm sure you're going to disrupt and make me feel horrible here in a second. I had my door shut and was staring at the ceiling, thinking if I should make gunner armor or blade master armor for Monster Hunter Freedom, when I felt someone grab my leg and drag me down a few inches so that my head isn't propped up on my pillows anymore. Oh, God. Oh, no. No, no, no. I had surgery on my right leg to remove a tumor in middle school, and for the most part, it's completely fine. However, even to this day, the scar is a bit sensitive. If someone firmly grasps it or something firmly brushes against my scar on my right leg, it can cause me discomfort and or pain, whereas if it were my other leg, it wouldn't bother me. When the event happened, I shouted at my brother and removed my headphones. While I was going to laugh at the prank of scaring me, I was angry that he grabbed me by my right leg because it hurt. Now, with my headphones off and me bolted upright, I found out that I'm alone in my room, the door still shut. My brother was downstairs in the backyard with our dogs. I don't believe in ghosts, and it's not like this is an old house that someone died in. However, with that being said, I've never been able to explain what happened that day, and it hasn't happened again since. That's horrifying. I honestly, anytime like you hear about like spirits physically interacting with people and stuff, it's creepier than just like hearing things or seeing things. Like that's creepy, don't get me wrong. But when they can physically manifest, that's when I feel like it's most dangerous and like the most just creepy and horrifying. Yeah. So, anyway, so thank you everyone once again. I know we thanked you guys all back in October, but thank you all once again for sending in your ghost stories and paranormal stories. There, we just wanted to do something different and fun, and it was really cool interacting with all of you. I want to try to do stuff like this again from time to time because it's a really neat way to get to know our listeners and for you guys to tell your stories and everything. We're going to try to do this again. This is fun. But anyway, thank you all for listening. We will be back in 2 weeks on February 1st with an actual episode. I'm sorry for this, kind of random upheaval, but I promise we're working things out and we're going to get things going again. But thank you for listening. We love all of you so much. And I hope you had a great holidays, whatever holidays you celebrate. And don't forget, Big Brother is watching.
Thank you so much for joining us for another episode of Conspiracies and Cryptids with Sammy and Tessa. Don't forget to check out our website, www.conspiriesandcryptids.com, for more episodes and other information.
And if you're really enjoying what we're doing, check out our Patreon at patreon.com/cryptipod. That's CRYPTIPOD. There you can find different ways to support us and get some awesome goodies along the way.
While you're at it, you can also find us on all of your favorite social media platforms like Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. That's any one of those at Cryptipod.
And if you're enjoying our podcast, please think about leaving us a 5-star review on iTunes. Leave us 5 stars and a nice little blurb about why you like us. It helps us to gain some traction and find some new listeners.
And while you're at it, don't forget to tell your friends, because our friends are your friends.
And don't forget, Big Brother is watching.